Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, I don't know if you've ever said, you've ever heard someone say, "Hey, don't judge me. Don't judge me." You know, doesn't the Bible say, didn't Jesus, aren't these his words, "Judge not"? You know, one of the common accusations that's made against Christians, you know, like someone was reporting me an encounter where someone said, "Yeah, you Christians, you're all alike." And he answered, "Well, what do you mean by that exactly?" He says, "You always are judging other people. You're judgmental." Well, but if you go one level deeper into that conversation, you notice that there is a sweeping, glaring generalization. All you Christians are alike. You're all really, really bad people. And so you wonder now, who in that conversation is doing the judging? Yeah, we sometimes get on the bad side of that generalization. "Judge not," by the way, is one of the most misquoted sayings of Jesus, and very often it is used quite out of context. Now, if you're like most people, and if you're like me, you don't like being criticized. You don't like being judged on your taste, your choices, your lifestyle, your political affiliations. You don't like that kind of disapproval. None of us does. People, and again, we're all kind of alike in this. We cling to our independence to do what we choose, how we choose, when we choose, with whom we choose, where we choose. And sometimes, even if it is contrary to the will of God, we really resent it if someone points that out to us, even if we go against God and His Word. But you know what? The greatest freedom that there is in all the world, you know what the greatest freedom is? It's not to do what you want. The freedom in the world that is the greatest is to do as you ought. Because when we're just doing what we want, we tend to be in some kind of a form of bondage. Well, we got to look back and see where this all started. In fact, you kind of know where that all began. It was in the Garden of Eden. That's where temptation came. And the offer that the devil made seemed pretty good. The benefits that were offered seemed to be a lot more exciting than the benefits of obedience to God. And so Adam and Eve exercised their free will. They do what they wanted to do. And it's like God had handed them this beautiful world, and then, whoops, they dropped it and broke it. Ever since then, people have been doing pretty much the same thing, namely insisting on doing our own thing, and that's human nature. In fact, that is the essence of what sin is all about, or might autonomy. You ever use that word? You ever hear that word? It's actually made up of two Greek words. It says, "I'm a law to myself. I make up my own law," which is what that knowledge of good and evil was all about. You're going to make up your own rules. Well, how's that been working out for humanity? Well, actually, that's why we have crime. That's why we have wars and abuse and broken families and addictions. And the list goes on and on. And it's not so much the problem is that people are breaking God's laws, but when people break God's laws, God's laws break them. You know, there are certain physical laws that govern our universe, you know, like the law of gravity. What happens when you break the law of gravity? You pay the consequences. You might get a broken arm, you know, hit your head, whatever. Lots of things happen. When you break the law of gravity, you face the consequences. But there are spiritual laws that are universal as well, and that govern our relationship to God. Now, what happens when we break God's laws? Yeah, we get into trouble. Yeah, bad things happen as a result of that. Things go wrong. Well, you say, but okay, it comes down to who's to judge? Who's to judge? Well, God is the one who judges because God has a standard. As a matter of fact, God has the perfect standard. Now, I might say, I have my standards, I have my morals, I have my ways. That really doesn't count. That is not what the reality is. The reality is what is God's. And I can't get God to go along with mine, so I'm going to have to go along with what His are. Maybe somebody thinks you have your standards because you're some kind of a crabby, picky, dysfunctional, sanctimonious, fault-finding individual. But God has the standard that's the right standard, you know. We sometimes go off, and we sometimes, you know, just kind of get that way. Well, God is the judge, and it's not me. God observes everything. The spotlight, you see, is on. It's on your life. You may not feel it, but it is. God's looking. He looks inside of a heart. He knows what's inside of each one of us. And then God evaluates that in accordance with, over against what His standard is, and He's revealed that. And it's not like, you know, oh God, what's right and wrong? What's right and wrong? I just don't know. He's made it really quite clear what right and wrong is in the Word. And as a summary of that, the Ten Commandments. And as a summary of the Ten Commandments, it's love is the fulfilling of the law. So there's a judge. It's not me. God then evaluates. He takes note. And He does that not so that He can condemn us. And that's what a lot of people, their thought about God is, oh yeah, God's watching. He's sort of like Santa Claus. You're going to find out who's naughty and nice. And if you're naughty, you're going to get that lump of coal in your stocking. But God has a plan in which He wants all people to repent and to receive the very, very best that He's got to give. Because repentance is the doorway into the forgiveness of sins. And we all need that, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, part of our sin nature, because we've all got that, to do what Adam and Eve did, because that's where we got that whole thing. And we want to do what we want to do, but we don't want to be judged, criticized, and so forth for that. Now, what would people do? They kind of do what Adam and Eve did. The first thing that they did is they hid from God. So, you know, I don't want God to know. I don't want God to know what I've been doing. And maybe it's pretend He can't see me. And if you're afraid He's seeing you, then some people go all the way to say, well, there is no God, and so there is no judgment. And maybe they just don't take that whole matter very seriously. Another thing that people do, and probably you found yourself doing this from time to time, and that make justifying yourself. And that's what Adam and Eve did when they used the fig leaves to cover their shame. They're covering themselves when God had a much better plan and a much better covering that He wanted to give to them. God's fix was a much better one. And then a third thing that people will do often is to make excuses, blame other people. Like Adam said, well, this woman that you gave to me, and by implication, he's blaming God as well. And how often don't we blame God? You know, God, why did you do that to me? When really, it's just simply the consequence of what something we've done at times. Or we might say, everybody else is doing it, so why are you picking on me? Like that little nursery rhyme that I learned at my mother's knee. Chief of sinners though I be, Pastor Dreyer's worse than me. So, you know, you look around, you also can find someone maybe who's a little worse off than you are. But here's God. God is, what are His characteristics, His attributes? He is holy, and God is absolutely righteous. And God is just. Now, He's established the law, and He's got to enforce the law. If He doesn't, well, there isn't any sense to the universe. You know, everything really falls apart. In the book of Judges, coincidentally, book of Judges, from time to time it says, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Judging self, hey, I'm going to let me off the hook. Well, the judge has got to do what a judge does. What does a judge do? A judge must judge. Okay, that's what a judge does. And as a matter of fact, God can't set up the law and then say, okay, oh, we're just going to overlook any breaking of that law. But God has to, at a certain point, execute the justice. And there has to be a punishment. Now, we're going to look at this in two phases. And we're going to look at it in the two comings of Jesus. The time that he came already, that's past history, as the Savior. And then the time when he is going to come and he is the judge. But there is a judgment that is involved in both of these, as you're going to see in a few moments. And to note, too, that the Father has delegated the responsibility of judging to the Son. And so when Jesus comes again, he will be judging. Okay, let's think about the first coming of Jesus. That's, of course, we're going to be celebrating. We're anticipating an Advent. We celebrate that in Christmas, when the Word became flesh to dwell among us. And that means that the Son of God took on human flesh to live a life right in our arena, you know, just like we have to live it. But he did that as our substitute in our stead. This is what he did. He perfectly obeyed the law of God. Everything that God commanded for humanity, Jesus was perfect in fulfilling that. He fulfilled what Adam did not and totally blew it. The Bible describes Jesus coming as the second Adam, the perfect Adam, the one now who is going to do it all right. And he will earn for us by that perfect obedience actually the opportunity and the right for the forgiveness of our sins and the right to be in paradise. The ultimate act of obedience of Jesus comes in when he dies on the cross. And that's the second part of that, him being our substitute and doing something in our stead. This substitutionary feature of becoming obedient even to death, death on the cross. And what he did in that is he took onto himself, into his very own body, the punishment that we deserve. But it was not only a bodily thing, it was in his whole being that Jesus experienced that suffering and then that death. Our sin became his sin. His sin, or the sin that was on him, which was our sin, was examined in that spotlight of God. And the verdict is guilty. The wages of that sin has got to be paid. Romans 3:23, the wages of sin is death. Someone had to die. And Jesus steps in. He says, I'm going to take your place. So the judgment that brought about the death of Jesus Christ was not the judgment of Pontius Pilate or the high court of the Jews known as the Sanhedrin, but it was the judgment of God himself upon Jesus, because all his sin, all our sins were already laid on him, and the full weight of the hammer of justice came down on Jesus. That is the core of the Christian gospel. Now, that means that there is hope for humanity, hope for every one of us, since all of humanity's sin was paid by that infinitely valuable. It was not a sacrifice of limited value. This was atoning sacrifice of unlimited value. It means then any person can receive forgiveness of sins, no matter how wrong, no matter how guilty a person is. You know, and like that song saying, you never give up, you never give up, you never give up on me. He hasn't given up on any one of us yet. And see, God can have that kind of attitude toward us because Jesus died in our place. The good news is that Jesus now is holding a spot for you. It's got your name, and he says, take it, accept it. Well, what's it going to cost? Well, the cost has already been paid. So for you, it's free. So Jesus came, and the judgment came upon him. Now, the second coming of Jesus, he will be the judge. In the Nicene Creed, we say, and he will come in glory to judge both the living and the dead. How's that going to take place? Matthew 25 records for us the words of Jesus. So this is the script. Jesus said the words. Matthew wrote down what Jesus said, And that is exactly what Jesus will say when he arrives. He will pronounce the final judgment. And there is going to be the great separation, like it says in Matthew 25, the sheep on his right, the goats on his left. Only two places, only two choices. It's not a multiple choice thing. And this is for the really good and the sort of good and the kind of bad and the really bad. It's nothing like that. It's one or the other. Now, all the sins have been placed on Jesus, and those who have accepted and received that gift of the forgiveness of their sins, they are the sheep. They will end up on the right side, and on the left side will be those who have rejected the gift. So how's God going to know? Well, God never makes a judgment without the evidence. And you see, the evidence has to be sufficient for the verdict that he's going to deliver. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Dreyer talked about Ephesians 2:10, where he said that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Not by good works, but for good works. That's our life in Jesus Christ, is to issue in that kind of a life. That's the evidence. And so those with saving faith in Jesus Christ are going, some greater, some not quite as greatly, will manifest the good works they have to do. Feeding the hungry, taking care of the thirsty, the sick, those in prison, the homeless, etc., the strangers, the other side, those who reject Jesus, will evidence that rejection. Because you see, they're only the works that are generated by faith. Only those works are generated then by the Holy Spirit and are ones that are acceptable to God. And so only a Christian can, by definition, do that which is good and pleasing in the sight of God. But those who do not accept Jesus Christ, their works are not righteous. So what side are you going to be on when all of that takes place? You know, sometimes people wonder, oh, what side am I going to end up, this side or that side? You know what? If you have faith in Jesus Christ, it's guaranteed you're on the right side. You are one of the sheep. You can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and I give to them eternal life. So if you are trusting in Jesus Christ, what does Jesus say? Whoever comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So you're one of the sheep. You're on the right side. What are you going to hear? The script is already written. You know what you're going to hear. You heard it just a moment ago. Jesus will say, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. The best words you will ever hear. The saddest words that will ever be heard are for those on the left. Those who have not received Jesus Christ, those who've rejected that free gift. He will simply say, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Yeah, there are the two options. The eternity of joy in the presence of God, or the eternity of sadness away from the presence of God. Now, what happened in all of this, when Jesus came into this world, was unique to any court of justice. The accused will appear before the judge. The judge, however, is the one who got judged. Jesus got judged. So the crimes of the accused are placed on that one's, on the judge's account. Wow. And the judge then is judged guilty, and the judge serves our sentence. And that judge who served our sentence is the one who will come to judge us. He said, the debt's already been paid. The punishment has already been served. The sentence, you know, already completed. And so I welcome you, he says. I have grace for you. There is no accusation against you that can stand. Now, we talked about the first coming of Jesus, the second coming of Jesus. But between the first and the second, there's a third. And that's a right now thing. That is the present coming of Jesus. It's right now. You see, he comes to us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't say, yeah, I'm a God who's far off. He He says, no, I'm not a God who's far off, but a God who is close at hand. He's a God who comes to us when his word comes to us. Whether you're reading it, whether you're meditating upon it, whether you're hearing it proclaimed in the church, whether you're in a Bible study, any way that that word accesses your heart, what's actually coming to you? It's the presence of Jesus Christ. When you come to the table of the Lord, you aren't just receiving some, you know, really neat kind of symbol, but you are receiving the reality. You're receiving the reality of Jesus Christ. You're receiving the reality of that redemption. And he says, I have that for you. See, he comes to us, and he is a God who wants to come close to us. So our faith receives, our faith takes hold of that. So what about us now? And who's to judge? Okay. It says, judge not. Always keep in mind here where you've come from. Every one of us has come from that place of sin. Every one of us comes into this world with that sin nature. But when we receive and accept the grace of God into our lives, the judgment against us is gone. And we realize, whoa, God has been incredibly merciful to me. I need to be merciful to other people as well. Yeah. Are we the judges? Well, but there are times when you're going to have the responsibility to call out sin as well. And that's not always very comfortable. And you feel like, hey, man, I'm going around judging. I wonder how John the Baptist felt when he called the people to repent. Because what we're doing is we're not going around trying to badmouth other people, but we are there to offer a better alternative than what they've got going on in their lives right now. Because our purpose, and the Apostle Paul says it several times, the Apostle Peter says it, James says it, and that is that we want to connect people to that better thing. And it says, always do it in a spirit of gentleness so that people can experience what the grace of God is. Well, the spotlight's on, you know. But you know what? You don't have to be afraid of what God sees inside of you, because he sees with eyes of compassion. He sees with the eyes of forgiveness. He sees with a passion to draw you to himself. Yeah, and don't think of repentance as a scary thing. Think of repentance as a joyful thing, and joyfully repentant hearts. And when God points out something to you that's not right in your life, you know what? You don't have to just grovel, but you can think, thank you, Lord. I am so glad I have found one more way to let that blood of Jesus Christ cleanse me, and one more way for my life to be more conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So the spotlight, yeah, he's coming to judge. Spotlight's on us. But don't be afraid of the judging, because you know what side you're going to end up on. And that's the joyful side when you're here. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth.